Welcome to Owning Our Sensitivities podcast. I'm Bonnie Snyder, an intuitive professional life balance coach with a background in education and counseling. In all honesty, I'm a catalyst, providing a space, products, and services to nourish that spark within you. I partner with women, intuitive, empathic, creative, and highly sensitive women. Women who want to discover, really remember their personal magic, enabling us to be who we are without apology. Honoring our gifts and feeling empowered in our relationship with ourselves and others, and knowing with our gifts we are an integral part of creating the shift in the world we know that is possible.
Hi, welcome, Lauren. I'm so happy you're with us today.
I'm delighted to be here, Bonnie, always.
Well, I'd like to read a little bit about my friend, and again, so delighted she's here today. Lauren McLaughlin is an ordained Unity minister and the author of Life Doesn't Have to Be So Hard. Great title, right? Reaching Beyond the Challenge to Find the Solution. So the title of her book is Life Doesn't Have to Be So Hard, Reaching Beyond the Challenge to Find the Solution. Her signature teaching for the last 25 years has focused on the practice of gratitude and the positive effects it provides in dealing with life on a day-to-day basis. Today, she'll share with us some of her personal life experience and that some of her students in using gratitude as a mood changer and deepening gratitude as a life changer. Now, Lauren sent that to me, but I just thought you might want to know a little bit more about Lauren because she brings so much wisdom to this podcast today. She's really a gifted person with a wide range of experiences and stories that had brought her to her next step of becoming a Unity minister and writing her books. She has many things she does in her trainings and her one-to-one sessions, including tapping and releasing anxiety and other healing modalities. And I hope at the end she'll share a little bit about that and tell us about her books. But just a little bit of what Lauren brings here with her wide experience. Her first job was working for a TV station in New Haven, Connecticut in the programming department. Sounds like fun to me. Then she moved to San Francisco, California and worked in another TV station in their programming department. She moves around a whole lot, folks. She then worked for the American Red Cross in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, as a public relations director and a fundraiser. You can start to see a little bit of the skills and the knowledge and the experience Lauren has. Then she moved to Washington, D.C. to work at the American Red Cross as the editor of the national newsletter, The Good Neighbor. She moved again to Florida to edit a weekly newspaper on the Barrier Islands off of St. Petersburg, The Advocate. Then she moved back to Washington to work at the U.S. House of Representatives as a research and press assistant for a congressman. Then she returned to Florida, yep, up and down the coast, Lauren, there you go, to work for a member in the Florida House of Representatives. Then she was done with all that political and press, and she became a realtor and an adjunct teacher at the St. Pete Junior College teaching real estate license law. She went to work also for a public service agency called Neighborly Senior Services as a PR director and fundraiser. She was then hired in the county we live in now, in Pinellas County in Florida, as the director of a YWCA, then returned to real estate and got married and started working with her husband. So you can see that she has really had a lot of experience and brings a lot today. And it's very much for me full circle with the various experiences Lauren has, how she's really come to being a Unity minister and really focusing on gratitude. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Lauren.
You exhaust me and you make me sound like I couldn't hold a job. But
no, not at all.
Actually, there were reasons for all those moves, most of them really viable reasons. And beside, I have an extreme curiosity in life. And when some new fun thing came along to do that, and usually paid a little more money than the one before, I was raising a child, so I was looking for making a better life for him and me in each case. But each one of the, when I looked back, when I got into seminary and decided to make the last 25 or 30 years of my life in one mode, That all of those things had prepared me for ministry, public speaking, fundraising, people skills, all of those kinds of things. And of course, ministry is very varied also. It has lots of ways to express itself. So I keep telling people I have had a charmed life. I had in particularly in the line of work I do now, we deal with a lot of people who had unhappy childhoods. I had an idyllic childhood. And I almost feel like I have to apologize for it because it would seem like I can't empathize with what other people are feeling, but I can. I can't say everything has been as smooth as silk, but it certainly has been an interesting journey. And feel privileged at every bit of it. I mean, there was no part of it that wasn't a positive learning experience, and the people I met along the way and the opportunities to do fascinating things were in every one of those jobs. I could tell you something that happened that was just mind-boggling, that would be a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I had 25 once-in-a-lifetime experiences at least. So you're talking to a blessed lady, there's no doubt about that.
Well, and I want to explain a little bit too, because you don't have a church, a brick and mortar church, but you do a lot of your ministering in a much more expansive way. Talk a little bit about what you do on Facebook and who you see and how that.
Well, I ministered most of my life in tandem with my wonderful husband, and we didn't become Unity ministers until we were 57 and 59 years old. So we took two churches that were in trouble, and we were church growth ministers, and brought them back to fiscal, physical, and spiritual sanity. And then we decided to do some more freelance work, which you are allowed to do. We opened up an alternative ministry called Unity Now, which was largely an internet ministry and one of the first internet ministries in the Unity movement. And we lectured and taught. My bag was to do women's retreats all around the state of Florida, and they were wonderful. And I had a great time doing them. And I still hear from people who were in those retreats and are still using the gratitude practices. In fact, I heard from a lady just yesterday that I haven't heard from in 20 years. Didn't know she was getting my blog every week all these 20 years. And finally, I said something that just triggered her to write to me and tell me about it, which was great fun. I mean, you know, in the internet, when you work on the internet, you put everything out there and you have no idea when or where it lands unless somebody responds. Mm-hmm. And people respond very irregularly. So it's always a surprise, and it's always a happy surprise. So I do post regularly on Facebook, and I have a following, and whatever that means, of over 5,000 people. But, you know, how many see you every day? Maybe a couple of hundred, but a couple of hundred is a couple of hundred. And I work with as much positive, uplifting material on Facebook as I can. I do a weekly blog with the blessing of a volunteer who's been with me for 20 years, who dispatches it every week with great love and care. I do a little personal ministry where I contact 30 people every evening as they go to bed and wish them a happy good night and a blessed next day. And they don't know it, but I do not do a group release. I do each one individually and bless them as they go to sleep. And about 10% of those respond every night, and they're not always the 10%. So I keep in touch with those 30 people. Which I think is amazing, that for me to know that I have 30 souls out there that are either anxious to hear from me or willing to hear from me and who tell me so. So, you know, and then I do counsel anyone who asks for my opinion. I don't call them counseling sessions anymore. I call them conversations, about 30 minutes. There is no charge for them. I do accept some love offerings because that allows me to pay the expenses of the internet and those things so that I can continue to do my work. But in Unity, you can minister until you take your last breath. My legitimacy is that I am registered with the national headquarters at Unity Village. So I can marry people and do services and those kinds of things. My favorite thing to do is the blessing of the animals. And I try to do two or three or four of those a week. And it looks like in 2024, I'm going to have an opportunity to bless the bikes. Motorcyclists are very interesting people. And they don't get a lot of blessing. So when we offer to do that, if I can find an organization that allows me to come in and bless them on their bikes, preferably, so that the rider and the bike gets blessed at the same time, we also provide them with a magnet to go on their bike that has the prayer of protection on it. And you know about the prayer of protection? The light of God surrounds you. The love of God enfolds you. The power of God protects you. The presence of God watches over you. Wherever you are, God is. And that poem was written by James Dillard Freeman during World War II, when an army chaplain asked him to come up with something that was easy enough to remember that the boys in the foxholes could remember it.
Oh, wow.
And then unbeknown to him, two different astronauts took his poems to the moon. And that one is buried on the moon in the capsule for whoever may find it years later. So I love to give that to the bikers. And, you know, to a guy on a bike, it's ultimate freedom.
Yes.
And joy and release. And it's a big thing for veterans, lots of veterans who have no other way to free themselves from their particular demons do it by joyfully riding bikes. So I'm always happy to bless the bikers. And it's an interesting thing about blessings. Whatever you bless, you are drawing out of it the very best that's in there. So it's you can bless your dog or your house or your new house or your new office or your new car. If you bless your new car, bless the driver in it. I've had people say, well, I had an accident and my car survived fine, but I got hurt. Or you blessed me, but you forgot to bless the car. I'm okay, but the car's in the shop. So be sure you do both at the same time.
Well, that brings me to blessing to me feels like a gratitude because you're blessing it. But at that same time, even if you're not voicing it, it's a gratitude for what you have because you're taking such deep care of
everything that's good in your life and everything that's good about you or about the vehicle or about the house or about the office. It brings forth the positive energy that is there and blesses it and gives and is being grateful for it.
So how did you get so, and I know you well, how did you get so connected to gratitude and what fascinated you about it? And I know you're curious. I am too about these kinds of things.
Well, I guess it starts with all of us when we're little. I mean, please and thank you are the first things that we're taught. And I have memories of my mother, excuse me, speaking in my ear, bless you, say thank you to your grandmother, say thank you to your aunt, say thank you to whoever the aunt was, which was any one of her myriad of friends, and so on. But that's pretty much gratitude as etiquette. Even saying it grace before a meal is a bit more prayer than it is an expression of gratitude. I never thought of gratitude at all as anything other than etiquette until I met a rather amazing teacher who really changed. You know, we hear this expression, changed my life. And what in the world does that mean? Well, it means that from that moment on, I thought or did something differently than I ever had before. And her name was Mildred Tyler. She was a teacher in the Unity Church, the first Unity Church I ever attended. She particularly specialized in teaching the Course in Miracles. And my husband described her method of teaching as magical. She just was a very unique human being. So I was there at the church doing something. When I first went to Unity, I thought these people lived in the land of Winnie the Pooh. I mean, they were forever thinking good stuff, when didn't they know that life was really a pain? So I was trying, I was drawn, I wanted to think the way they thought, but I just wasn't getting there yet. However, I was doing my thing. I was volunteering and doing whatever you do to try to make yourself better. And I ran into Mildred and I said, "How are you today, Mildred?" And she said, "Oh, Lauren, I am so blessed. I got up this morning and I had a flat tire." Now,
what?
I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but that did not register with me. And I started to open my mouth, Monty, and this voice said, "Shut up. You're about to learn something." And I did. I shut right up just like that. And I said, "Well, wow, that sounds interesting. What happened?" And she said, "Well, yesterday, let me tell you about yesterday. I was teaching the Course in Miracles at noon, and the nighttime teacher got sick, and they called me and asked me if I'd covered her class. And while I was leaving home, I was trying to take double materials for everything and thinking about the two classes, and I drove away from my house without my purse. So I got to church and I didn't have any purse, and I didn't have a Kleenex, and I didn't couldn't buy lunch, and I was in a terrible place, and I just didn't have my purse, and I taught these classes and I taught them fine. But then when I left at night, it was dark and it was raining, and I never am out in the dark and I never drive in the rain. And I finally got home and I closed the garage door behind me and I just thanked God that I was safe and I went to bed." I said, "Well, that does sound like a stressful day." She said, "And then I got up this morning and I had a flat tire." I said, "Okay, Mildred, but would you please tell me how that tire blessed you? Because I am totally lost." "Well," she said, "what if I'd had it yesterday when I didn't have my purse and it was raining and it was dark and it was, instead, it waited until this morning to be." And that was where the shift took place in me, that there was another way to look at life.
Yes.
And
yes.
And I began to play with it a little bit at a time. And I just got so enamored with it that my friends couldn't stand me. They started to call me Polly for Pollyanna, that I was only seeing the best in everything. They thought I'd lost my mind. And of course, like everything, you shift really high to the other side. And I was probably a bit ridiculous. But I did learn that everything has a seed of gratitude. It's like the yin-yang symbol. There's that little white dot in the middle of the black. And sure, there's the little black dot in the middle of the white. You can't get so spiritual that you expect the world is not going to have anything go wrong with it. That's just not practical, and it's not even human. My husband used to say, "You can get so spiritual, you're no earthly good."
No earthly good is the point, right?
Yeah. So you need to level. But looking at life as I now see it through the lens of gratitude, that there is a blessing in absolutely everything, does make life much more pleasant than it was in probably the first 50 or 60 years of my life. Now, you know, you can't send somebody a Hallmark card in the middle of a tragedy. If to use a benign example, you could be walking through the parking lot on the way to your car. Maybe you've been Christmas shopping. You've got some bags of gifts. You're looking at your phone and you don't see the hole you're about to step in. And you step into it as deep as your ankle, let's say. It's full of muddy water. And while you're there, the bags drop and you even drop the phone because it startled you so, and your ankle hurts a little almost immediately. And so, you know, you pick yourself up and you pull your muddy foot out of the water and you brush off your dirty clothes and you pick up the stuff that's spilled and you get in the car. That's not the time to say, "Now there's really something good in this experience."
No,
that's not the time. The time then is to try to get home and take a shower and put your foot in the slipper up on the toffee table and have a cup of coffee and kind of forget it for a little while. But the next day when you review the experience, and you will, because you have to wash the clothes and you have to pick do something with the money package and you may have to get your phone repaired. That's the time to say, okay, what was good in this experience? And one of them was that maybe that you had been rushing so fast to do things that you were not even enjoying the experience of Christmas shopping. Another is that you really needed to sit down one night and not go to a party. You needed to regroup. You needed time to think. And who knows what else the benefits might have been. But,
well, and possibly in something like that, too. Thank goodness I didn't break my ankle.
Yeah,
it was
great.
sore.
Absolutely.
But you've really underscored in all of these stories, even was, I think her name was Mildred. She, when the first thing happened and she had to drive at night and she left her purse home, she wasn't all cheerful and grateful for her. And I think that's what many of us think. I think to begin with, when some of this came out, it was, you know, law of attraction said you must always have positive thoughts. Well, we're in a human body. We can't always have, but we are wired for the negative. That's our fight or flight response. That's what has kept us before we had the luxury of homes alive. So the point with gratitude, it's just a beautiful way to be able to say, okay, yes, we can feel the emotion, but on the flip side of that, what are the positives? And you remind me when you're telling these stories of, I know I remember being thankful, but I don't know if gratitude, I didn't realize the power of it until I took Dr. Marty Seligman's first authentic happiness coaching class. And there's so much research to back what you're saying, Lauren,
oh, yeah,
about gratitude, that even the other thing that woman could do, which I've done when the day hasn't been great, is like, well, what other things can I say I'm grateful for? Maybe I wasn't grateful because I dropped my freaking bags all over. It's a mess. I've had to clean
but
it.
You could be grateful that the gift didn't get ruined, just the bag.
Oh, exactly. Or maybe even I got home okay. My husband cooked dinner, to focus someplace else where we can find gratitude. But the longitudinal studies have shown that over time, and they've watched people who do three gratitudes a day, and that's just the beginning, are healthier, happier. And I remember the last time I checked, they even made a small percentage more financially, were more abundant.
Well, it depends on whose study, but the two most prolific students of the PhD philosophers and psychologists that are studying it are Robert Emmons and Michael McCullough.
Right, part of that whole movement, yes.
But then that's University of California and University of Miami. Other studies were done at many other places, but my favorite one was done at the University of Rochester.
And oh, really?
The woman who's writing is Susan Pierce Thompson, former adjunct associate professor of brain and cognitive science.
Oh, sweet. Love that.
And she writes, gratitude can lower levels of depression and reduce suicidal thoughts in individuals. If there were a drug that did that, whoever patented that drug would be very rich.
Wow.
Now, this is a brain scientist saying this. This is not, when I try to tell people this, this is not pie in the sky, and I didn't invent it,
no,
and neither did anybody else. You asked, and I started to tell you how I got into it. The second major jump for me was to discover Brother David Steindl Rast, who is a Benedictine monk, I think he's a fellow from Cornell, a fellow, I think, who has devoted his whole life to the study of gratitude and its impression on people in the most horrendous kinds of situations, and how what a turnaround it was when they were able to shift from looking for what's wrong to looking for what's right, from looking at the dark to looking at the light. And that's what he has worked at entirely. He has a website called gratefulness.org. Anyone can go on it. There is piles of material. If you are a recovering Catholic, so many of my friends and colleagues are, you can light a candle for someone on it. I mean, it goes to the basic of being grateful for everything.
I love that site. I remember you had shared
everything.
Yeah, I love that site. And I think even, Lauren, many of our people probably have gratitude practices. And I'm going to ask you about deepening gratitude in a minute. But I just think that it's important, even if we have a gratitude practice, to focus on that, because it's really easy, even if you have one or you have a ritual, when these things happen, we don't all automatically go to, most of us don't go to, what is light, what is right, am I okay? And if you're a highly sensitive person, gratitude is one of the best ways. We are so connected to that joy because of the way we're wired. So again, deepening the practice, shifting what you're doing, I think is really important with the gratitude. And looking again, I just really want to underscore it, looking at what's positive after the experience.
I think you have to be willing if you're not actually willing to accept the fact that your thoughts have absolutely everything to do with your life. And yeah, that everybody from Plato to the most common quantum physicist of today will tell you exactly that. And yes, you're right, we do have a propensity to look for what's wrong. Mothers are, you know, looking ahead to make sure their kids don't fall off a cliff.
Of course.
I feel awfully sorry. I have to counsel with great compassion accountants who are looking for mistakes and yeah, doctors and nurses. And
yes,
I had one nurse friend who she was just furious with the American Cancer Society, which I have been furious with many times, because they were teaching women to do breast exams to look for lumps. And she said, you know, if you're looking for lumps, you're going to find lumps. If you
Good
want
point.
To really, really examine your breast, examine it for healthy tissue. Do
That's
not
great.
Examine
I love that.
Lump. Your yep, mindset is 99% of what happens here. Every single cell, according to Bruce Lipton, the most famous cellular mm-hmm. mm-hmm. biologist, every single cell has intelligence and it picks up what you're thinking.
Well, and yes, and we can override, because we know we bring in from our ancestors genetically, but we can override some of that if we are focusing in a certain direction. Absolutely.
Deepening gratitude on the light side is just being grateful for things you take for granted, like your umbrella and your rearview mirror and the mouse on your computer and the fork you're eating with and that kind of thing. But it came out, deepening gratitude in its most healing process, came from psychiatrists who do something called a gratitude intervention. And it is to really stop people who are going down a very slippery mental slope all the way to the bottom. Excuse me. And instead of letting them go to the bottom, they stop them cold and say, I want you to take just 5 minutes and focus on something that is important in your life and only look at what's good about it. And the first thing they used were hands. That you put your two hands in front of you and you block everything else from your mind but those two hands, and you examine them maybe for the first time in your life, how well they're engineered so they can grasp things and what the benefit of the opposable thumb is and how many things they use them for. They couldn't get out of bed in the morning, put the covers away without hands. They couldn't brush their teeth, have their breakfast, drive to work, do their job, anything. And what have you used it for in the past? You've petted kittens, you've held your babies, you've felt beautiful fabric, you've experienced softness, you've experienced luxury, you've experienced heat and cold, you've thrown snowballs and had a good time, you've been in a warm hot tub and been in a good time. Your hands are always your sensory doorway to just about everything. But so then I wrote a little book called Deepening Gratitude. It's 30 days of practice. It's called A Different Kind of Gratitude Journal. Very inexpensive. I think it's $5.95 or something on Amazon. But in it, every day, it gives you something different to do a gratitude intervention on. Like, for instance, color. When do you ever stop to think of the importance of color in your life and what life would look like if you couldn't see it or feel it or choose it or create it or work with it or draw with it or paint with it or admire it or wear it or decorate with it? So you spend 15 minutes thinking, and then think about what good color has been in your life in the past. One woman wrote me and said, Years ago, I had a red coat, and I just always felt like $1 million when I wore that red coat. And I wore it until it was threadbare. And I've always loved red coats ever since. So, I remember the Christmas windows in New York City with all the
Yes.
colors and animation and Rockefeller Center and all of that. And I grew up in the 50s when the world turned colorful, just like it did in The Wizard of Oz. I mean, during the war years, everything was black and navy and gray and dark green and maybe maroon. And then all of a sudden, everything burst into color, telephones and refrigerators and cars and houses. And it was just like everything burst into color. So that's one thing that's easy for me to, I could spend 30 minutes thinking about color and all its advantages in my life and all the beautiful, colorful things I've owned and whatever.
So let me tell you a quick little story about that. So my granddaughter, who's going to be soon 13, says, we were talking about a movie, and I said, Granddad loves to watch black and white movies. And she says, Bonbon, why would anyone watch black and white when there's such beauty in color?
Yeah. Well, good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her. And the creator knew that. I mean, he could have created a black and white world. He didn't do that. He gave us this lovely sunsets and the aurora borealis and pink clouds and all kinds of good things. So
Well, for
other
those,
subjects in the book that I suggest that one day you experience fun. When in your life have you had fun? What does fun mean to you? What does it mean now? Are you still having fun? Should you be having fun? What could you be doing with fun? Another is dessert. Think about
Oh.
all the great desserts. So it is being grateful on the big side and on the small side for the things that we take for granted. And frankly, that is the best part of looking at life through the lens of gratitude, is to pick it apart.
I think as many who are listening who are highly sensitive, I was thinking about the colors, since beauty is one of the things many, empaths, intuitives, creatives love. What would the world be without? But on the real flip side, because what you're focusing on in that book, it's actually changing our brain. We're working away from
You are.
the negative, and
And
you're
like any change, you have to keep working at it and you have to want to do it. And you're right, the little gratitude exercises like writing down three or four or seven or 10 or 14, I'll bet you can't just one day, things you're grateful for in the course of a day is major. I carry a book with me around all the time and do it as it happens. So and
Oh, I
so.
love that.
So and so called, and this happened. I got an opportunity to do a lovely broadcast with my friend Bonnie. Whatever good thing happens, I write it down almost before it's been told to me so that I know that I've acknowledged it and that we'll be thinking about it and we'll have it in my plan. Another little exercise, gratitude exercise, is called the Gassho ceremony. It comes out of the Taoist tradition. And all you need to do it is a candle and a bell. And usually I keep a little Gassho center by my front door so that before I leave the house, I take a minute to do the Gassho ceremony. You light the candle, it can be an electronic candle if you don't want to bother having lighters and things. And while the candle is on, you put your hands in the namaste position. That's fingers up, thumbs toward you. In a prayerful position, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and then just think, I am grateful for, and an entire stream of things will come through your mind. Things that you wouldn't have expressed with gratitude for, but right that minute they're right ready to spill over. And when the spilling stops, then take another couple of breaths. Blow out the candle and ring the bell because the bell grounds the gratitude statements. Takes 2 minutes, it can take 10 minutes, but for most people it takes 2 minutes. And you leave the house with a more positive approach. You get in the car with a better feeling. You're nicer to the other drivers. You're in a pleasant mode because You realize there's an entire army of people working for you all the time. Even people who are very alone, I'll tell them, go over and flip the light switch. How many people had to go to work today so you could flip that switch?
Yeah, good
You get
thought.
to use it and you don't pay for it till after you've used it.
Yeah.
So the electric company trusts you to use it. And then drive out on the road and think, who paved it? Who painted the lines? Who put the signs up? Who designed the entrances and exits? There is almost nowhere you can go, nowhere you can turn, nothing you can do that you don't realize it's taken hundreds of people. You turn on the television, and how many people did it take to bring you that program? How many people did it take to bring you the television?
Yeah, exactly.
Or the internet or anything else. So you are never alone, never. Not only is God with you, but hundreds of individual human beings are working for your benefit every day, every minute. And so there's never a time there isn't something to be grateful for.
Well, I think that's the point. And I think, as always, Lauren, I've picked up a couple different points with this one. I can almost hear some people say, well, I don't know. I've got the kids, I've got this or that. But even if you just stopped, as Lauren was suggesting, or even if you're moving, to be thinking about what you're grateful for as you're moving out, or just stand still. We all have, even with kids around, having them stop for a minute and just say, just take
Yeah,
a
get the
breath.
kids to do the gosho ceremony with
Yeah.
you.
Get the
There's
kids.
one little point I don't want to miss before we whenever we end
I
this
was just going to
conversation, and
ask you. Yeah.
that is the difference between being grateful to and grateful for, which I think is monumental. You may do me a favor, and I'm grateful to you, and I owe you one. That's not
Oh,
gratitude.
no.
That's debt.
Yes.
You loaned me $100, and sure, I'm grateful you loaned me the $100, but I'm grateful to you and I will be paying you back.
Yes.
Grateful for is just being grateful for the thing, for the occurrence, for the breath,
Yes.
for the opportunity, for the experience. And it's what really is what changes your viewpoint. Grateful to is part of business. Grateful for is part of spirit.
Oh, what a beautiful ending. Oh, thank you so much. So, Lauren, how do people find you on Facebook?
It's just Lauren McLaughlin. Actually, it's Rev Lauren, REVLAUREN. But if you put Lauren McLaughlin, search for Lauren McLaughlin, it comes up. Also on Amazon, I have four little books. One of them is called The Handbook of Spiritual Tools.
I love that one.
And this deepening gratitude is this little journal, which if you do for 30 days, will set you on this gratitude path for life, the deepening gratitude part. And then I wrote two novels that are full of spiritual lessons and practices. The characters themselves discover them, and you discover them through the characters. One is life doesn't have to be so hard, and the second is don't rush. So if you want to see what they all are, just put my name into Amazon and you'll come up on the author page and see everything that's there.
Well, this has been delightful. And again, if you use the word God, divine, universe, whatever it is, gratitude works with you. So just know that. And I just thank you, Lauren, so much. You just bring so much to this. I know our listeners are going to be excited about some new ways to use gratitude if they already do. And if they don't, they now know that can really help change their life.
I've had fun being here, and it's certainly my favorite topic, and you're one of my favorite people. So I've had a lovely afternoon.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Owning Our Sensitivity podcast. I hope they uplift and inspire you. And please feel free to share them with anyone you think would benefit from listening. Any links mentioned during the podcast will be in the show notes below. And please feel free to check out the virtual spa, a wonderful place to decrease overwhelm and stress and be nurtured and uplifted. If you are looking for community with other like-minded women, I invite you to look at our White Lioness Circles, a safe place for us to share, support, be recognized, and honored. And I invite you to look at Owning Our Sensitivity and see what other products and services are available. And of course, I love to hear from you. please feel free to email me.